This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Man Talk, brought to you by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where they're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and challenging men to take their God-assigned role. Here's our hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy.
Okay, welcome to Man Talk Radio. And we have on the show today, Brother Alan G. And Alan has a very, very interesting story, Roy. He wants to just share that story with us in reference to an addiction, alcohol addiction, drug addiction. And, you know, there's a lot of men out there, as we know, that have faced and are facing situations like this. And, you know, we never want to just look down on an individual, but we just want to let God bless us to take the issue and take it by the throat and run with it.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Will. Oftentimes men don't know where to turn to for help. So it's important that when you encounter somebody that's struggling in this area, that you're there as a support mechanism and as an accountability mechanism. So I'm excited to hear what Alan's got to share with us tonight. And I think as God opens the door, there'll be an opportunity to share a little bit from a personal side as well.
Exactly. So, Alan, tell us about how your journey got started in reference to, your addiction.
Been a long road. When I was growing up, my dad was an alcoholic. He would come home. He was verbally abusive. I had a brother and three sisters and my mother. And it seemed like every weekend the cops would be called, but because he got so irate. About the time I was 12 years old, there were some guys in my neighborhood who we got together, and at 12 years old, I smoked my first joint, I drank my first beer, and I smoked my first cigarette all in the same day, and got so sick. But afterwards, that was my means of escape from the problems that my dad was giving us.
So, Alan, did you have siblings?
I do. I am the baby of five. I have three older sisters and one older brother, and I'm the baby. Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're the baby, so that makes it even more difficult. Usually by the time the youngest one's coming along, the parents have gotten through all the mistakes of learning with the first one or two. So, but you had to endure what was still to come, I guess.
Well, I was raised up in the 70s. I was born in 1965, and, you know, by 1977, I had started. When we're kids, most kids think that, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a fireman or a policeman or a doctor or a lawyer. We never think that we're going to be a drug addict or an alcoholic. We don't grow up thinking we're going to be that way, but it slowly comes up on you. And by the time you get there, it's too late. You're addicted. Mm. You're an alcoholic. You're a drug addict. And
so at what point or what age did you realize that you were actually addicted?
My gosh.
Or did you go through
40 years old?
Oh, wow. So you basically...
Oh, I thought I could handle it.
Yeah, you were denying it for a lot of years, obviously.
Oh, I was a functioning alcoholic and addict. Mm-hmm. I went to work every day. I made good money. I've been a printer all my life. I've done good things. I just didn't realize how bad it had gotten.
Right.
And, you know, that's a very interesting thing that Alan talked about, is that no child wants to say or grows up thinking that I want to become an alcoholic or a drug addict. So I think from that statement and recognizing where you were and in the condition you were in, it gave you some hope that the life that I'm living is not normal.
It wasn't normal at all.
How did your siblings turn out, Alan? Did they struggle as well?
A few struggles.
With the
most
addictions?
Of them are doing very well.
How about with the addictions? Any drug or alcoholism?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
So you were the one out of the five?
I was the black sheep.
Mm. But you weren't a black sheep. I think it affected you differently. So that became became your vehicle as you grew older for whatever reason.
Yes, sir.
Which, you know, we've talked, Will, you and I have spoken many times off the air about the impact that any type of action has to young men.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for those of you listening, as adults, but also as younger men that might be listening, you know, your actions will have a reaction.
Exactly.
And it will either be within you, there will be a consequence within you personally or within those that are watching you. And Alan's sitting here in front of us as a result of, I would have to say, probably the way his father treated him, the way his father demonstrated alcoholism and those other things.
His authority in my life impacted me.
Yep. There you go.
I was talking to Pastor Hardy earlier, and we were talking about we need to get to these kids now. By the time they're 10 years old, because it just starts earlier and earlier. I was 12.
Right.
And that was back in the 70s.
Right.
It's 2019.
Well, you know, do you think, Alan, that the availability of alcohol was much greater to a younger person during that time period?
I do.
Yeah. And I think Will and I, and we're just talking about this today, actually, I think, today alcoholism for young people is now pornography. And we think is probably the much larger problem than people even realize. But the alcoholism piece is an interesting one because it slowly creeps up on you, like you said. At first, it starts out as a social drink. Even people that have never drank all of a sudden have a glass of wine or something. It becomes the way to socialize, to relax. And then if people have stressful jobs or stressful life, a glass of wine, unfortunately, will ease in the moment that mess that's going on in your mind, which is a false hook.
That's right.
Satan uses it as a false hook. So, hey, if it worked today, it'll probably work tomorrow.
We were talking earlier, when I was 14, 15 years old at the bus stop, I was drinking a pint of liquor in the morning.
Before you went to school?
Before I went to school.
And never got caught?
Never got caught.
Wow.
And see, but alcohol, too, is not the drug of choice today. Drug of choice today is like opioids and crystal meth, right, and things like that. So, you know, it's sort of like taking a back seat, but we still can't forget about it.
Right.
You know, from the simple fact that when people do start consuming it, they think it's okay.
Right. And addiction is addiction, right?
Exactly.
So whether it's alcohol, the opioids, which I think the opioids are so popular because it's not so visible. If you've taken one, you know, you're able to kind of stay to yourself, and the feeling that it gives you is more within you, unless you're just happen to be out doing a lot of talking or something. It's easy to be done at evening time. Unfortunately, the availability, as we know, it's epidemic proportions in our country right now. I think they just arrested a doctor, got convicted in the last couple of weeks, I believe, Will, in North Carolina from that very thing, writing too many prescriptions, and they a flag went up. So, Alan,
my thing was crack cocaine.
So you went through a drug addiction behind the alcoholism?
Oh, gosh. For years.
Okay.
20 years of crack cocaine.
Wow.
In a week's time, I'd probably do $1,000 worth a week.
Wow.
Had a lot of friends.
I'd say, if that kind of habit, you must have had something.
I made good money.
Mm.
And I wasn't only smoking it, but I was selling it also.
Oh, my.
So, you know, I had plenty. And like I said, I had many of friends. You got to change your friends. You have to change the places you go. You have to change everything in your life.
Yeah, so friends were probably temporary. I'm sure when the drugs went away, there were a lot of those friends went away. So they're really more acquaintances, I guess, just to have the convenience of having access to a supply line, right?
Yes.
So real quickly, tell us a little bit about some of the more traumatic times growing up, if you will. Just a few examples. You don't have to get into a tremendous amount of detail, Alan, but we'd just like for our listeners to understand, from a grown man's perspective, reflecting back on his childhood, what those things did to you exactly.
Made me scared to death. My dad just, I was telling Pastor Hardy earlier that he never really did beat us. It was more verbally.
Intimidating, scary.
He would scare us. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
It was terrible. And my way of escape was that alcohol, was that marijuana. I would stay gone all the time.
Do you know, did your dad...
Especially when I got my license.
Right, right. Did your dad ever get a DUI or DWI?
Yes.
He did.
He spent time over that, and he lost his license for life.
For life. Did he ever get them back?
No.
Because sometimes, you know...
He was scared to.
Right. For life, sometimes in today's society, they can have an opportunity to come back.
He got them for life.
Wow. And what age was he when he lost them?
He was probably 55.
And he lived to be in his late 80s, you said?
85.
Wow. So 35 years without a driver's license and still having
it's hard to do
family. And your mother lived to be how old?
75.
Wow, I'm sure that took a toll on her watching all that and being a part of that.
So, see, man, when Alan here, I mean, he's been gracious enough to come in and share his story. And I'm sure some of you who are listening out there are going through something similar or have gone through it. And when you come to a realization, and when we come back after the break, we want to ask Alan, as a result of this addiction, what type of wrong decisions that you made going forward? But we want to just keep that until after the break. So men, be thinking about what it is that you need to be doing at this current state in your relationship, if you're married, or in your walk with God. Because see, a lot of people who are doing this, Roy, are in the church.
They are, Will. And I would go one step further. What are you doing right now? If you're sipping on a cold one, what kind of impact are you having on your family?
Exactly.
WCMM would love to have you join their community of men for breakfast every first and third Friday of every month. They have Bible discussions and fellowship after the best breakfast in town. The meeting location is at their gracious host church, First Christian Church in Kernersville, 1130 North Main Street in Kernersville. They have a hard start at 7 o'clock and a hard stop at 8 o'clock. First time visitors eat for free. Join your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy. Affordable Chiropractic in High Point. As you might tell from their name, Affordable Chiropractic, even for the cash patient. Dr. Jeff Fricke has been caring for patients in High Point for 34 years. Physical therapy such as ultrasound and spinal decompression for disc conditions such as herniation. Comprehensive care for auto accident injury patients with no out-of-pocket expense. Remember, Affordable Chiropractic on West Lexington Avenue in High Point. Call 336-885-1987.
Welcome back to Man Talk Radio. And before the break, we were talking with Alan about, you know, things and decisions that you made as a result of being addicted to alcohol and crack cocaine. If you don't mind, Alan, sharing some of those decisions that you made that you feel in today's time that, you know, if you were to go back and redo them, what would you do differently?
Well, I tell you, when I was in my younger age, I had a girlfriend, and I got her pregnant twice. We were both doing things we shouldn't be doing, but we had abortions, something I'm not proud of at all. You know, we don't think about the consequences when they happen. But I am getting older in age, and those consequences are that, one thing, I'm not married right now. I have nobody in my life except for God. Who's going to take care of me when I get older?
Mm.
That's a big consequence.
Mm.
You know, having those abortions at the time, I didn't realize how much of an impact it was going to have on me in my later years.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and because I think those things, you know, we don't think about, because we're in the moment of whatever it is we're engaged in.
Exactly.
And I think this is where the love of God, you know, comes in, because now you have a whole different view of where, you know, you want to go in God. And a lot of things that we were talking about early, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen right away for everyone. But we should not come to a point to say, hey, you know, there's no hope, because this show is about hope. It's about reaching out to individuals who may have experienced or are experiencing some of the same things you're experiencing.
And just don't ever give up.
Mm-hmm.
Because God never gave up on me. I was telling a story earlier about my dad. It's all about a pocket cross. Little pocket cross, which might not mean much to you or anybody in the audience, but it means a whole lot to me. My dad came to see me. I gave him a pocket cross. 4 months later, he had a stroke. Well, 2 months after that, he was in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And let me back up for a second. When he went to the hospital after a stroke, all he had in his pocket was that pocket cross.
Mm.
2 months later, when he died, he had that pocket cross in his hand.
Mm.
But he had given his life to Christ. I never gave up on him.
Mm.
God has never gave up on me. And that's why I think I'm here right now, to tell everybody out there, don't ever give up on anybody.
Wow.
Because God can do some amazing things in your life.
No matter how far down the road you are, right?
He was 85 years old
mm.
before he gave his life to Christ, till he truly gave his life to Christ.
And see, and I think when God, when Jesus Christ said, what's impossible to man is possible with God.
Absolutely.
So, you know, regardless of what we go through, and a lot of things we don't understand why we go through them, but when we do go through them, and then we begin to share what we went through, and see, that's what Man Talk Radio is all about, is to get men, get you in the position to say that the life that you're living, if you were on the road that Alan was on. And he shared earlier that it is a struggle. He still struggle with some things. We all struggle with them. Are we sinless? No, we're not sinless, because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, and if we never sin anymore, then the word of God says that we are a lie and the truth is not in us. James, that's 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 6. So we don't want to be deceiving ourselves that we are all of this in a bag of chips.
No, I agree with that. But what's important, Will, and you know this, is that, you know, you can't keep doing the same thing over and over, you know, and we've talked about this in the mm-hmm. past. People say, well, I'm covered by the blood, so therefore I don't have to turn away from what I'm doing. No, that wasn't quite what he meant. Mm-hmm. You know, turn and sin no more. He knows we're going to sin and we're going to fall short. To your quote earlier, of course we're going to fall short. We all do. But you can't just keep going right back to the same well. And that's why it's important to seek help, seek recovery, mm-hmm. seek institutions that can bring you through this. Because if I know that I'm forgiven, I just keep going right back to the cocaine every day, just because I've got the blood of Christ covering me. You know, is that honoring God? Is that really dying to self? And then that's, I've got to make an effort. You know, part of that is we got to do in the natural what we can do. And then God mm-hmm. will come alongside, like you said, the impossible. He can mm-hmm. do all those things.
Mm-hmm. God took cocaine away from me instantly when I asked him to. Other things I struggle with. Mm-hmm. But the crack cocaine, he took away from me instantly. I went on a 3-day binge without sleeping. Rode around for 3 days. Ran out of gas 5 times. Going from Charlotte to Hickory to Lenore, everywhere, Statesville, Gastonia. I would ride around for 3 days. Mm-hmm. Had $1,000 in my pocket. Too scared to get out of the car to get a tank of gas. Fortunately, people were there at the times that I needed them. I was so sick after those 3 days, I went to an acquaintance house. I said, here, take it. I don't want no more. Mm. I went back to that crack house and I prayed to God to save me.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
When he did.
Amen. I've got a friend whose son just went through the same thing a few months ago. Went to a men's meeting on a Saturday morning, heard the word, went home, got in the shower, and just got down on his knees and prayed that God would release him from the hold of the drugs.
Right there and back at that crack house.
Yep, same thing happened to him.
You don't have to be on an altar.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. You don't have to be at some fancy church or wherever you're at. God can save you.
Mm-hmm. And see, and I think that's...
You just let him into your heart. Right. You got to open your heart up and just say, look, God, I am sick of this.
And see, that's the message. That's the message, man. It doesn't matter where you are. Because if God can save Alan where he was, then how much more will he do for you? Because see, in reference to the parable in St. Luke chapter 18 about the unjust judge. You know, that judge, he didn't have any respect for man. He didn't have any respect for God. But it was one widow woman.
Yep.
She kept coming back again and again and again. And finally he said, this lady basically is wearing me down. And if I don't do anything, I'm not going to get anything else done. But the key to this parable, I think, is not only the faith that God wants us to impart to him, but it also says that if I am in a situation to be able to do something, and we heard, Alan, that you said that all along the way, there was people there. You know, there was people there to help you. There were people there to give you some instruction and give you some guidance.
Yeah. People were praying for me that I didn't even know were praying for me.
Mm.
My Aunt Peggy, oh gosh, she's a wonderful woman, and I will never forget her.
Mm.
She's still alive. She's older enough in years. I think through her prayers and through my church's prayers, that's how I came out of all this.
Mm.
Prayer works.
Well, that's important. We need to remember all those people that we know in our life that aren't where they need to be, that mm-hmm. indeed, to your point, Alan, prayer does work. So I want to, as we're coming down in the last few moments here today, want to just share some thoughts from a personal perspective. I was one of those guys that grew up with in an alcoholic's home, but he was a seasonal alcoholic. He would drink on 3 or 4 day binges about 4 times a year. But it unfortunately was all the key times of the year, and it ended up putting a heavy shadow on my Christmas, Thanksgiving, holidays. So if you're listening today and you've got a problem with this drinking, I want to challenge you to turn it loose. Even if you don't know you've got a problem, I want to challenge you to turn it loose, because it's affecting your family, it's affecting your children, and you young men, you just need to shut it down and not even get going down this path, because you will have a family someday, and it's better to turn it loose now than try to deal with it in the future. And as always, we want to remind you, if you don't know the Lord, now's the time to just ask Him into your heart, accept the fact He died for you, you're covered by the blood, turn from your sins, and start walking with Jesus, and get involved in a church close by, and if you don't have one, contact Talk and we'll get you connected.
Absolutely, Roy. And because men all around the country needs to hear the Word of God. And if the Word of God does anything for you, it'll save your soul.
Amen, Will. I'm Roy Jones Jr.
And I'm Will Hardy. And we just like to thank you again for listening to another episode of Man Talk Radio. And tune in again.
As we wrap up today's show, be assured that TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, is building a community of men that are Christ followers with a desire to be servant leaders in their homes, communities, churches, and work environments. Check out our website for upcoming events and regularly scheduled meetings. Drop us a note for topics that you would like to have us visit in the future. Thank you for joining us on Man Talk today. Visit us at www.tawcmm.com. Men walking the talk.
This is the Truth Network.